Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Gary McKee, his epic achievement of running a marathon every day during 2022 to raise money for cancer treatment. A simple multiplication problem of 26.2 times 365 will reveal that he ran 9,500 miles or 15,300 kilometers during the year, which is basically the equivalent of crossing the United States three times. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. I feel like I want to call you Superman.
No, I don't think so. He wears a cape.
I mean, seriously, tell me a bit, first of all, about the inspiration behind this and the serious reasons why you wanted to do it.
Well, I'd run 110 marathons in 2021 and I'd raised over £200,000. And if I go a step further back from that, my dad was diagnosed with cancer in 1997. And I remember when I came home from work and my mum was sitting outside with my sisters and I walked down the path and I asked what was wrong because I knew something was. I can't even remember the answer, but when I went into the house, my dad told me he had cancer. And I remember how one word sort of turned our world upside down. My dad was a cancer survivor. He saw that he'd been given another shot at life, and he rolled his sleeves up and he got on with it. He didn't sweat the small things. He just enjoyed his life. He passed away in 2003 of an unrelated illness. And in his memory, I wanted to do something to raise funds for those who were going to experience the same tragedy or the same sort of thing as we had and being told that they had cancer. So I cycled across Brazil that year. I followed that up with a climb Kilimanjaro. I ran from Land's End to John O'Groats, the most two extreme points of the UK. I've jumped out of aeroplanes, walked over hot coals, ran 100 marathons in 100 days. So when I'd done the 110, I knew that there was plenty left in the tank. And I sat down with my family and we discussed the next steps. And it just seemed the right thing to do 365, give us a full year. And I seen it as a year of opportunity to help other people every single day by raising funds. We never know what's around the corner. I had two objectives. One was to run 365 marathons, and the second one was to raise £1 million for Macmillan Cancer Support and for my local hospice, which is West Cumbria Hospice at Home. There was additionals to that. It was to get as many schools involved and get the school children to understand the benefits of exercise, and when you couple that up with fundraising, how you can enjoy exercising and helping people at the same time. It was also to signpost charities and to get as many people moving as we possibly could.
Oh, it's amazing. So many wonderful reasons for doing it all. And you did make the £1 million mark, didn't you?
We did. It all came together on the last day. I'd already said to people who were thinking that we weren't getting enough media attention, I just said it was a 365-piece jigsaw and there was a process to follow. I said, like in the film Field of Dreams, I said, if we build it, they will come. And on the last day, the fundraising page was on £534,000 when I set off in the morning. But we'd had engagement from the BBC and they'd give us the platform that we needed to push things further. As we were running, people were shouting out, the total was just going up and up and up. And we had an event planned that night, but it was a celebration. So at 20 past seven at night, we had entertainment on, but everybody was looking at the phones and at me just giving page. And there was a big cheer went up at 7:20. And that was when I'd realized that we'd hit the £1 million mark. So yeah, we ticked both boxes.
Oh, how amazing. So that last day, New Year's Eve, it would have been, must have been one of the most incredible days of your life.
It was, but I'd said to everybody that the running had been done on the previous 364 days. Today was about the enjoyment, about looking back and enjoying what we were witnessing, because there was Thousands of people came out on the streets to welcome us in. There was over 150 people ran with me or cycled. And I'd said the lines were straight. The streets were paved with people. And I'd said to everybody, a mile from we finished, I'd got everybody together. And I'd said, no matter how many miles you run in your life, you will always remember this one. And it was an incredible feeling, knowing that we were helping so many people.
It must have been so emotional.
Because I'd been there with the 100 and 110, I sort of knew what to expect. But the fact that we'd raised so much money and in the financial, in these economical times of uncertainty, you know, with the price of everything going up and people haven't got the money that they used to have, but you just don't know how much you will raise. So it was very, very emotional knowing that, you know, we had done what we said we were going to do.
Yeah. So let's talk about the practicalities of running a marathon every day for a year. Now, I've done a half marathon once, and that felt like a massive achievement. I mean, it really, really did. And I thought about the idea of doing a marathon and just thought, nah, I don't think I could. The half marathon was so hard and such a big deal. I was quite happy to kind of, leave it there. So for people to run a marathon in their life is a really wonderful, inspirational, amazing thing. But for you to do it every day for a year, I just can't get my head around how on earth you managed to do that. How do you explain how you did it?
A lot of it comes down to time management, but I can certainly relate to what you said about not going over. When you build a picture of it's 13 miles in your head, and you get to the end, it's a half marathon, you think to yourself, how do people possibly push themselves a little bit further? But whilst I was running in the 365 days, there was over 200 people did full marathons with me, 200 different people. Some people had came from couch to 5K, and that's all they thought they were capable of doing. They kept at it, and they kept upping their miles and building their miles till the point that they got through a full marathon. And to share that experience with somebody for the first time is quite incredible. So I did that with over 100, 150, 160, 70 people. And it's all about belief. It's about believing in yourself that you can do something. So without belief, it's pointless. If you think you can't do something, you probably won't.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a case of I knew I'd done 100 in the past. I knew I'd done 110. It was about balancing my home life, my work life, the things I did with my children. I didn't want them to miss out. So when we sat down and discussed it as a family, me two children, the eldest's doing an apprenticeship, and he was a little bit thing with time, but the two little ones who were 14 and 9 at the time said, we'll do 365 of exercise with you, Dad. So my son, who was only 14, he cycled 48 full marathons with me. When he wasn't cycling with me, he was in the gym at home doing 10 miles on the spin bike. He'd done over 5,000 miles himself. My daughter, who was 9, she'd done 10 full marathons with me, and her contribution was also making loom bands up for people with the colours of the charities, and she sold them. So she made over £500 herself by doing that. And every single day I watched them grow and develop, and it was another day that they ticked off. So people also talk about, well, you're not tired, how do you sleep at night and things. Well, I slept with a big smile on my face, knowing that my children were doing something good to support the dad. When I didn't want it to impact on the family, so I didn't go on holiday, and I explained that they should. So my son said, I'm not going, Dad, because there'll be nobody here to make you a cup of tea when you finish.
Oh.
So the rest of the family went, but he didn't. He stayed with me, and that's the support that I had. The community came out in force. People every single day were running with me. There was days when I would open the door. Even I picked up an injury halfway through, which meant I had to slow down. The plus side to that was it meant that more people could keep up with my pace. For the first 6 months, my marathon time was 3:43, you know, which was pretty quick considering I was doing a marathon then going to work.
Yeah.
And I was doing it consistently day after day. When I picked my injury up, it just meant I had to go a little bit earlier, balance it off, just work through it till I got some physio, intense physio, to try and sort it. It was a hamstring injury that I had. And probably the only thing that you would need for it would be rest. But I couldn't rest. You know, I still had to do my miles. But the community were behind me. I would open the door and there'd be 20 people there with head torches on. On the route that I was using, people were putting boxes out with water, chocolate, fruit. When it was called to be Hot Vimtor, you know, at the halfway point, the turning point, there was a couple who used to come out every day and make tea. They'd bring cakes with them. Everybody seeing the halfway point as an opportunity to meet up with me. And they would always bring cake, and runners love cake. So we had cake every day. There was a company, The Vet at Whitehaven. They saw that we were standing in the rain quite a lot because where we live in Cumbria, it rains a lot. So they bought us dry jackets. So instead of standing in the rain, we were well wrapped up. The couple who made the tea always had towels with hot water bottles in. And it was just one of those things where everybody came together to get behind me and push me over the line. There was over 2,000 school children ran with me. You know, it was incredible to see people running with smiles on their faces and then wanting to come back to do it again.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just so, so wonderful that your family and the whole community got involved with you. So it sounds like you were doing the same route every day, were you?
There was 5 days where I changed. One, I ran in Manchester and I'd been invited to Old Trafford to bring out the trophy for the Rugby League World Cup final. So I brought the trophy out and put it onto the field and I got a standing ovation of 70,000 people that told the story of what I was doing. The following day I went to the Olympic Park in London and I ran in London. Mo Farah had put a shout out about what I was doing. So there was 500-600 people turned up to run with me on that day. And there was a couple of occasions where I didn't run the route because of people wanting me to run elsewhere, but 360 of the marathons were done on the same route, which worked for me. It started and finished at my home, which meant that when I got back, it was a case of recover before I went to work. And it all just worked. People knew where I was every day at any time so they could join with me. And it just worked.
Yeah. And how were your feet? I mean, the idea of running a marathon and not kind of coming home and having a nice hot bath and really kind of relaxing and resting your muscles, coming home, I presume having a shower and then going to work just seems unbelievable. How were your muscles and feet able to do that?
Yeah, so there was occasions where obviously I had to work. So, but when I wasn't working, when I was on my rest days or I used all my own annual leave, or there was times when I was working from home, which always helped because it gave me the opportunity. If I was doing some document reviews or rewriting documents, it meant I could do them in the sauna at home. So I was getting recovery. It meant I could eat while I was getting my legs massaged. My feet, I had my feet in over 30 different pairs of running shoes. And if you imagine that you line your 30 pairs of shoes up, and you give them a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you rotate them so you don't wear the same pair twice in the same, as in consecutive days. You put pair one on. By the time you get back to pair one, it's like putting a brand new pair of shoes on. So my feet, I didn't get a blister and I didn't lose any toenails. And I looked after my feet because they were what were going to look after me. So I made sure that my feet were fine. My running shoes, apart from when I picked my injury up, which I was dragging my foot quite a bit. My shoes were fine. They're all still intact. On the very last day, I got a pair of shoes commissioned, which had my name on one side and 365 on the other. And they were auctioned and they raised over £1,000. There was my feet. I was getting massaged once a week, sometimes twice. And I was massaging my own legs with the massage guns every single day. So it worked for me. What we done was we put a routine together that worked for me and I didn't have any issues with my legs apart from the injury that I sustained at all.
Gosh, it's just incredible. So I mean, there's loads of people that do get issues with their feet. They do lose toenails. They do get blisters. You know, they do have lots of issues with their feet particularly. Is that because, I don't want to say because they're doing something wrong necessarily, but is it kind of that? Is it that they've got the wrong shoes or they haven't got enough support or they're not, look, is it because they're not looking after their feet in some way or are people just different?
I think people are different, but I think there's a combination of things where people pick up blisters. There could be that they haven't got enough cushioning on the socks. There could be too much movement in the shoes. The laces might not be tight enough. There's a host of reasons why. For me, I used the same make of shoe. The company Hoka had supported me throughout the challenge and they were sending me shoes, but people were also buying me shoes. and my kit in general. So I think it's a case of finding what works for you, maybe do a gait analysis on how you run and what your shoe should look like, and stick with it. But certainly get used to wearing shoes when your feet are wet, because that can have a huge bearing on things. I used to, all my pre-training was done in the mountains, so my feet were wet most of the time. I was running through rivers. I was up Dale down, up and down mountains. And it just is what it is. When you get used to it, it sort of works for you.
I just think you sound superhuman.
No, certainly not.
I mean, what kind of reaction do you get from people? I can't be the first person that's had this reaction. There must be so many people that are just gobsmacked going, how on earth are you doing all this?
Yeah, you do get that. But I suppose that anybody who knows me and has seen my CV knows what I'm capable of doing. I just only see it as I'm doing what I am capable of doing. I don't think it's any more than that. For anybody who's an artist, they put their story on a canvas, and it can be incredible to see what it looks like at the end. For me, my story's in my running shoes. I go out and I do what I do, but it's only what I'm capable of doing. I always think that if more people done more of what they were capable of, we would live in a different world. It takes nothing to smile at somebody and say hello, and that can change somebody's day. Change it for the better. So if we practice what we're good at and we keep practicing, we get better at that, and we can extend ourselves further, we can shape ourselves a little bit better, get the better version of you. So people, at the beginning, you'll always get a question mark, how are you going to do that? My answer is, you tell me how I can't. what is going to stop you? What's going to stop me? And during your run, there's always things that'll be put in your place. It sort of tells what type of person you are, is how you pick things up. But when you're put in a corner, and I've always said that my life has always been in a corner, because that way there's only one direction you can go when you're in a corner, and that's forward. And in life, you need to keep marching forward.
Oh, absolutely. So what are you going to do next? I mean, are you already planning another challenge? How are you going to better this one?
I don't think it's a case of bettering it. It's a case of offering support to people who need it. I can't imagine ever raising another £1 million again, but I'll keep doing what I need to do. I always say to my children that £50 buys a food blender for somebody with throat cancer. So if you think of the £1 million and you divide that by 50, that's how many people you've reached out to. Yeah. And if you can reach out to one person, you've done a job. I've been invited to the Grand to Grand, which is a race in America, and it's builders, the toughest race in the world. So anybody who's done the Marathon Disables and the Grand to Grand will tell you that the Grand to Grand is more, it's tougher. So the company who run it got in touch with me when I finished 365 and invited me across. So I'll be doing that in September. It's a self-sustained race where you put your backpack on, it carries your own food for the whole week, plus your sleeping bag and the kit that you're going to use. And we'll see how that goes, but I'm seeing that more of a, I'm going there to enjoy it and to see, how hard it does test me and how it pushes me, and I'll just do my best, because that's what life's about, isn't it? You don't have to be the best. You just have to do your best.
Oh, absolutely. So why is this one particularly tough then?
It's across the desert. It starts at the Grand Canyon and it goes across the desert to Utah, to the Grand Staircase. The elevation levels are up and down. It's quite undulating. You're carrying your own kit. There's cut-off times. There's the environment itself, so it can be 35 degrees. You only get a certain amount of water. You get a litre and a half of water between stops. So there's you can replenish that every 10K. But it's about carrying your own kit. You're removed from normal daily life of electronics and stuff, so you've got nobody to interfere with what you're doing with, and it'll be a tester with the harsh conditions. The success rate on it is pretty low for the amount of people that do it. There's a lot drops out simply because they can't carry on. You do carry your own food for the week, and you've got a minimum of 2,000 calories. But 2,000 calories when you're running isn't a great deal, so there'll be a bit of weight loss involved in it. And just the harsh conditions, the sand dunes, up and down dunes, you know, it's what it's like running in soft sand. It's difficult. So yes. We'll see how it goes, and I'll hopefully come out the other side with a smile on my face.
Oh, I bet you will. If anyone will, you will, Gary. It's been an absolute honour and a pleasure to chat with you. I think you're amazing, and I'm sure anyone listening to this interview will think exactly the same. If people want to get behind you and follow your journey and your journey in September as well, have you got a website that we can go to?
Yeah, I've got a Facebook page, which is MarathonMan365. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, and people can follow the story from there. It'll be getting updated every day. I won't be doing it, obviously, but the Grand to Grand have their own page, and they're going to let the people who do my social media, we'll give them a bit of an insight into how I'm going on. So that'll be there every day. So MarathonMan365 on Facebook.
Perfect. Perfect. Gary McKee, thank you so much for joining us, and well done for everything you've done, raising money for people who really need it. So well done you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for the
opportunity.
Thank
you, Gary. Bye-bye.
Bye.